We will again be looking at the Gospel of John, John 9, starting in verse 13. If you'd like to take your scriptures and follow along. We'll pray again for the Spirit's guidance. Our Lord and our God, as we open your book of life, I just pray that you give us ears to hear the lessons that you would have us to take away from this portion of your word, Lord. I pray that I represent you properly and give a clear message that you want, that your Holy Spirit wants all of us to hear and then to take into the world and into our lives. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. John 9, starting in verse 13. They brought to the Pharisee the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him, how had he received his sight? And he said to them, he put mud on my eyes, and I washed and I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him, since he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So for a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. They said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And they reviled him, saying, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, you were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, are we also blind? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. You may be seated. You know, as we again look at this historical event of the blind man that was able to see, and this guy was blind from birth. You know, we left off, and the Pharisees were about to investigate this. They're about to do an investigation because the people brought the blind man to them. But we have to remember, these are wicked men. These are evil men. These are God haters. They do not stand in the truth. And there are certain characteristics of men and women who do not love our Savior. And we'll see this coming out again in this. You know, it'll start with intelligent conversation. Those who are unbelievers will become emotional because people will say things that they do not like, do not want to hear because they do not have the truth. And because they become emotional, it turns into verbal abuse. And the latest and the last step will be violence. We see that in the progression here by these religious elites. But it's part because of what their heart is. You know, it's part of them how they live out their lives. And we looked at a couple of points with that as well. You know, the rejection of divine truth is hostility towards God. And it's hostility toward His believers. Because they're already calling God a liar. We don't believe in you. You know, and that's why they want believe this man who was blind and healed. They had hostility toward God. So they just ignore facts. That hostility would trump everything. And those who hated Jesus, they would kill him. They would kill the disciples. They kill the disciples, his followers, yet today. Or they slander them, silence them. And it is because of the second point. They already formed their conclusion. They already formed their conclusion, a wicked conclusion. And they will not be bothered by divine truth. They will not be bothered by facts. You see, they work kind of backwards in logic and in life. They form a conclusion. And then everything in life has to conform to what they concluded as truth. For example, their thought process goes, we love the lust of this world. So we conclude that any desire we seek after is a good thing. And anybody or any God that forbids that is an evil thing, a wicked thing. Or is non-existent because it is interfering with what we desire, what we really want. It's like those who will take the intellectual route. We are scientists. We are so much greater. We believe in evolution. So any God that said He is the creator God is a challenge to us. So we will not believe it. We will not even look at the facts. And we'll see that as we look at this historical event. The Pharisees didn't even hear the witnesses, and yet they concluded that, well, because he breaks our Sabbath rules, not God's, he cannot be God. So their whole argument here in investigating this is already stained because they already do not believe that there's any possibility that Jesus could be the Messiah. Pride is at the heart. Man's pride is at the heart of all of this. We know better than God. We know what the world was made for. It was made for us. We like our stony, dead hearts. And anything that tries to interfere with that, we will rebuke it, revile it, debase it, slander it. Because they're living out the nature of their ruler, Satan. Remember, Jesus told these Pharisees, you do your father's work, the work of the devil. So we looked at this. These Pharisees, they were going to look at what this man would say, the parents would say. But they did not believe this man. But you know, we see a little dissension, even in the Pharisees, as we go into this. It says, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. So there was even a division among the Pharisees. You know, that's amazing that there would be even a division among these leaders. But there was. But you know, there were some, and this is part of people whose hearts can be changed. They were truly looking for truth. They're open enough to say that, you know, something's going on here, even some of these leaders. Their presuppositional thinking was that we seek out the truth and we wish to align ourselves with the scriptures. The Messiah, because he is God, will be able to do miracles, so their conclusion is a proper one. Let's look at this. This man is performing great signs and miracles. Perhaps he is a great prophet or the Messiah. But you know, those who have their hearts completely set in stone will not have any division, even among themselves. You know, what do you think happened to these guys? These Pharisees who wanted to say, well, let's look at this. See if this is divine truth. Well, I'll give you a hint. In John 7:50, Nicodemus, who had gone to him before and who was one of them, said to them, does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does? They replied, are you from Galilee too? Search and see that no prophet arises from Galilee. What happens? Nicodemus says, hey, you know, let's just follow the rules that we have in place, the standards that we use for investigating all this stuff. Let's hear what he has to say. But what do these wicked, who I think were the majority, do? Are you a Galilean? Are you his disciple? Right away, verbal abuse. Are you a follower of him? And what happens? What happens? You know, we're told in 22, if you are a follower, if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. I believe these Jewish leaders who are truly seeking the truth were silenced by the false teachers, ridiculed, threatened to be thrown out of the synagogue, punished, because we never hear from them again. They were silenced, verbally slandered. Remember, like Jesus, they called him, you're a Samaritan, you have a devil. Here you're a Galilean, you're a follower of Jesus. You know, it's surprising, though, that these guys would even ask this man who was blind what he thought. Because they didn't believe him, but it says, what do you say about him since he has opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. This outcast from the synagogue had more truth in him than did these leaders, because of what he had heard on the streets about Jesus. You know, he was cast out. He couldn't go to the synagogue. He was forbidden from entering it. But yet, he had more discernment about how Jesus is and was because of what he heard on the street. What would he have heard? You know, in chapter 4:19, the woman said to him, this is the woman at the well, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. In the chapter 6:14, when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed a prophet who has come into the world." So this man could pick up, just from living on the street, divine truths, far more than these Pharisees who would not believe that this blind man was healed. They would not believe it because it threatened their presuppositional thinking that Jesus is not from God. He's a sinner. He's from Satan. So what do the wicked do? What do the wicked do when they're confronted with truth? Well, they do the same tactic today. They want to question more. They want to question. It's not that they're looking for truth. It's that they're looking for evidence, one misstatement, one misquoted word, where they can jump on it and say you're lying. The slightest thing, contradiction, they can elevate it to say, oh, you're being avoiding. You're not being honest with us. But it's all to bolster their pre-existing condition. And you know, we can see it in the world today. We can see it in friends. We can see it in non-believers. We can see it in politicians that do not seek the truth. You can witness to somebody, you can share divine truth, and what will they say? Well, what about the Crusades? What about the Crusades? What about all the people who were killed by the Crusades? Crusades, very easy. I never participated in that. But you know, they'll always look and question and go and try for something to bolster their condition. Endless questionings to try to trap somebody and then say, oh, you lied to us. 2 weeks ago, you said it was 7 o'clock, and now you're saying it was about 7:15, and they'll blow it out of proportion. But see, they're not seeking the truth. They're seeking an agenda. Agenda against honesty and truth. These Pharisees are seeking an agenda against divine truth. That's why the questioning. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called his parents of the man who had received his sight and asked him, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, and ask him." You know, this is a very sad portion of this recorded history. The parents, because they feared the Jews, would not state the complete truth. Of course they knew that Jesus was the one who healed them. It would have been the talk of the town. Remember, Jesus was continually surrounded by crowds. And if your blind son comes walking up to you and can now see, I think he's going to tell you how it happened and by who. They knew exactly how it happened. That he put mud in his eyes and took him to the pool. But out of the fear of the religious elite, they would not align themselves with the truth, nor with their son, because of fear. You know, and that is what false religion promotes, all of them. Rule with a heavy hand, which is ready to crush anyone who thinks about seeking the truth, anyone who questions their agenda, must quickly be put down. Because you see, a lie can only stand when the truth is suppressed. You know, it says, when the wicked rule, the people mourn. How hard do you think it was for these parents to pretty much throw their son under the bus and say, stand by yourself, because we don't want to be thrown out of society, thrown out of the synagogue, because we fear these religious leaders over them. Very difficult decisions. But that is what the wicked do. They don't rule with love. They'll proclaim they rule with love, but it's with fear. Either align with us, or we'll throw you under the bus and trample you, slander you, defame you. It's their nature. They're doing their father's work. But now again, like I say, endless questioning. The leaders want to hear the man's account of the event. But remember, their minds are already set. They're not looking for truth. They may be looking, maybe we can flip this guy. Maybe we can turn him. Maybe we can terrify him. But you know, this guy has the advantage. They already cast him out. He was already cast out of the synagogue. He was already a social reject. What more could they do to him? But you know, when confronted with the truth, which is our third point, unbelief is irrational. Irrational. When you believe a lie, even when truth and facts are continually laid at your feet, that is irrational thinking. The facts are ignored, so your lie, your agenda, can be protected. So they question this guy again. However, this man has not only had his physical eyes opened, he has been exposed to divine truth. His spiritual eyes are opening as well. Later on, it tells us he believed and worshiped God. But judging by what happens here, I think that process has occurred before. He will not be silenced by their threats. And in fact, he will start to question them. You know, it's funny, the Pharisees start out by using an interesting phrase, give glory to God. This is a reference to tell the truth. It comes from Joshua 7, when Achan stole the stuff, took the spoils from a battle where they shunt, hid him in his tent. And Joshua said, and they brought near his household men, man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give praise to him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered and told him all the stuff that he took, hid under his tent, and sinned against God. So in this phrase, what these Pharisees are saying, you're a liar to this blind man now healed. We don't believe you. Come clean. Give glory to God. They will refuse to believe him, even though his parents testify, probably many others testify, he testified. You know, and even in their law, it says, by two or three witnesses, let every matter be established. Here they have many more witnesses. But again, their irrational thinking, we will ignore the facts. Again, they're trying to catch him in some misstatement. So for a second time, they call a man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. You see their whole attitude? We've already concluded. So in reality, none of the facts you give us are going to matter. We know he's a sinner. That's our agenda. Again, his answers are the answers of a person who has a true encounter with God. He answered, factual. Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. Perfectly rational, factual answer. He says, basically, I was healed. So then they said, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Now, they're actually admitting that God opened his eyes. They kind of slipped up. And what does he say? It emboldens this man even more. And now he uses some sarcasm to confront these leaders. He knows what they hate. They hate the disciples of Jesus. He answered them, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? So what do you think they will say to that? They revile him. You are his disciples, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. But the rich man, or the blind man who's now healed, he has these Pharisees on the defense. But that's what divine truth does. Truth will come to the top. It will rise. It will stand because it's true. But he becomes the questioner. He becomes the preacher. The man answered, why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God, he does his will. God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. All biblical sound information. How can you not know where he comes from? He's been telling you continually that he's God's son. He's been verifying it by the countless miracles. And never has a man born blind seen. And you're saying you don't know where he comes? Furthermore, how could he do these? God would not listen to him if he's a sinner. Psalm 68:18. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. This man is instructing them in biblical truth, biblical facts. But they will have none of it. Because they have reached their conclusion long ago. They have already been plotting how they can kill Jesus, how they can silence Jesus, how they can get rid of him. And any evidence, any divine truth will be illogically ignored. Because their hearts are already set. And they will resort to what comes natural to them. They will get verbally and physically abusive, and they cast this man out. They answered him, you were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? And they cast him out. They cast him out. It's amazing how we can go ahead couple thousand years, and the wicked act just as they did back then. Illogical, abusive, physically abusive. And I'll tell you what, if they receive power, we've seen it time and time again, they will kill Christians. They will kill anybody who believes in Jesus Christ. We've seen it time and time again in history. When they reject Jesus Christ, it is not a neutral position. It is hostility toward Christians because they are hostile toward God. But the Pharisees, they believed that they were the ones with clear vision. And you know, in a way they were. They had a clear vision of what their master wanted them to do. Their master was Satan. They were following him. And their eyes were open to his leading. And they would not bend because they believed they were right. Because Satan plays into the lust of the heart. Their eyes were opened. And that is why Jesus tells them and shares more truth, because he still loves these sinners and wishes that they would repent. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." You see, their hearts could not be changed until their vision was changed, until their vision was blinded as for the things of Satan. And they humbled themselves and wanted to see divine truth. But unfortunately, many will not see. Their guilt will remain because their vision is their own self-lust, which is led and fed by Satan. And anything that stands for divine truth will be rejected and slandered and hated. Illogical. Illogical. You know, it says the heavens declare the glory of God and the earth the work of his hands. In Romans it says day by day they have a testimony against them. Just the fact that we are here speaks that there is a God. But they will reject. It's their presuppositional thinking. But what it is for us, I think the lessons that we must have here is that discernment. We must not align ourselves with the wicked in any way or form. My hope today is that you will be able to discern and see the characteristics of the wicked. How they continually say we're seeking the truth when they're seeking an agenda. And look for godly friends, godly people to work with, godly leaders to follow, who stand in the truth and not an agenda of Satan. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, you have placed us in this world, the body of believers, and we are to influence the world. We are to be the culture carriers of the world, so we must learn discernment. We must humble ourselves and close our eyes to the wickedness, that our eyes can be open to your loveliness, your beauty, and your divine truths. Teach us, Lord, to be such a people. Amen.